Welcome back to State of Belief Radio, everyone. I'm Welton Gaddy. On September 21st, many PBS television stations will premiere Light in the Darkness, an inspiring film about communities whose members are committing to stopping hatred altogether and together. It's the latest in the Not In Our Town series of documentaries, a project of the nonprofit organization The Working Group, and I'm very pleased that it brings executive producer Patrice O'Neill to State of Belief Radio. Patrice, welcome.
Thank you for inviting me to the program.
And I should say up front, so that our listeners know, our local chapters of interfaith alliances across the country, many of them are working in conjunction to help get this inspiring documentary the widest possible exposure. And Patrice, I know we could easily spend an hour talking about this work, but let me ask you to just briefly describe the origins of the Working Group, the Not In Our Town series, and then this current film, Light in the Darkness.
Thank you. Not In Our Town began in 1995 with a documentary we produced about people in Billings, Montana, who resisted hate violence and attacks against their neighbors. And I'm just going to spend a minute telling you about the original story because it has informed our work over the past 16 years.
Good.
In Billings, there were a series of attacks. There was graves in the Jewish cemetery were overturned, and then skinheads started showing up at an African-American church and intimidating the congregation. Then members of other congregations started sending their members to that church to make everyone feel secure. The skinheads went away. Then there was a Native American woman who had her house painted with racist graffiti and swastikas. And members of the Painters Union, 30 members of the Painters Union, came over to paint the house, and 100 neighbors showed up to watch. So the community was learning that solidarity and resistance to hate was working. Then, during Hanukkah season, a six-year-old boy had placed a menorah in his window for Hanukkah, and a brick was thrown through the window. And people in the community said, "This is becoming dangerous. We have to do something." The police chief was encouraging the community to take action because he said, "This is not just a law enforcement issue. This is a community issue." And people started printing paper menorahs and putting them in their windows. That holiday season, 10,000 people put menorahs in their windows. And when we aired that program on PBS in 1995, we thought we'd have 10 town hall meetings around the country to see if people would talk about what was happening in their town. There were over 100. And since that time, many communities have taken on this whole identity of Not In Our Town, this whole resistance to hate. They've made it their own, and they've built on the model. And if I could just for a moment give you an example of how we were able to continue the covering Not In Our Town. The following year, we got a call from Bloomington, Illinois, and people there asked us for Not In Our Town buttons. And we said, "Well, we're really a film company, and we did that last year. We're doing another series now." And they said, "Oh, you don't understand. There are African-American churches that are being burned in the South, and we don't want this to happen in our town. We're having a march from the courthouse in our town to one of the African-American churches. We need our buttons. This is a Not In Our Town march." And we said, "Okay, we'll send you the buttons." And then we sent our cameras there as well. We went and covered this. And for the past 16 years, we have been trying to cover stories of community response to intolerance. It's incredibly powerful.
Oh, yeah, and I can't commend you enough for the philosophy behind this this vision and what you've done with it. In keeping with the community-level focus of your work, over 100 screenings of Light in the Darkness have already been organized. As I said, Interfaith Alliance is helping with that. I assume that resources are available for listeners to this show who may be interested in becoming involved, and I'd like you to tell them how to find out about participating.
We'd be so happy to have this engagement with the listeners in the community. If you go to NIOT.org, that stands, it's the letters for Not In Our Town, NIOT.org, you will find on that website a map where you can sign up for screenings. There's a way you can sign up for screening, and we'll send you a screener. There are screening kits. There are discussion guides. There are examples of the kinds of actions that other people are taking in their town. There's a trailer for the film so you can see what it's like and learn more about the story. So there are many, many resources on the site, and you can immediately connect to us through NIOT.org.
Patrice, do you know about the future of Not in Our Town and working group projects? What are you looking at next?
Our next story is, one of the stories is about Not in Our School, Not in Our Campus stories that have taken place across the country. And if Not in Our School is really, again, something that had emerged from the community. It was built by people at the grassroots who said, how can we engage our young people in these discussions about resisting intolerance? And our next story begins when a high school counselor from Southern California goes to Stanford, and she sees the school board there talking about Not in Our School. And she learns about it. She goes onto NIOT.org. She says, I can do this in my school. She takes it back, and she engages 5 school districts, 21 schools, in district-wide discussions about how to resist hate and bullying. We went to tell some of their stories, and I think one of the most powerful things about what was done in the Antelope Valley in Lancaster, where this school counselor was from, Lori Massari, is that they engaged their young people in the solutions. That is such an important element of both Not in Our Town and Not in Our School, is that, get people involved, get young people involved in finding solutions. And what they wanted to do is think about what could be done to prevent suicides from young people who had been bullied. And so they created this program to try to do that and try to sort of get at what would make people feel hopeless and what they could do with their classmates to bolster them and make them feel stronger. Mm. It's a very powerful story of young people engaging with the support of their teachers and their school district and their community.
I think everybody recognizes, and this work is unusual in that although there is a significant media component, the focus is on engaging individuals and entire communities in very concrete action. Is that a safe description of your movement in this film industry?
I think that there's that strong dynamic between media presenting stories, presenting that narrative that can move us and capture our hearts and engage us with knowledge we can have of each other that we didn't have before, and then hopefully provide some examples of how we can take action. That's what our films are designed to do, is to provide those examples and that sort of emotional connection and that knowledge, that understanding of what happened, who has been harmed, what's being done. And then, using those stories to help people engage at the community level. Because what we've seen, our experience has been, is that there are incredible solutions at the local level. And so what we want to do is help spark those, that inquiry, that activity at the local level, and then take it and cover it so it reaches out to a national audience.
Patrice,
that's what we were trying to do with this next film from Patchogue, New York.
Patrice, I have to ask you 2 quick questions, though we're out of time. One is, why? Why are you doing this? What made you start doing this?
I think what happened to us, after for all of us at the working group and everyone who's worked on this film, after the Billings story was aired, and when we started hearing from people around the country who were ready to stand up, stand with their neighbors, diverse groups of people from every walk of life, when we started hearing that and hearing from them, it just encouraged us. And I feel like every day the rewards are tremendous, because I get to meet some of the most amazing people in our country, people who despite the despite all the things that challenge us from speaking up, decided to push through and do something. That's what keeps us going. That's why I'm so happy to do this work.
Patrice, I know what you've done through this to other people. What has it done to you?
It's made me a very happy, happy person, because even though hearing the stories of hate crimes is a deep challenge and it's very painful, I get to see that other side of the story, and I feel like I'm just so lucky to be engaged with amazing people and to share their stories.
Patrice O'Neill is executive producer of Light in the Darkness, a new film premiering September 21st on many PBS stations. Patrice, thank you so much for joining us on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you for your questions, and we can't wait to hear from your audience and the interfaith community across the country.